Is God good? I hope you took a good look at these young people. I'm an advocate for youth. Single youth. Yesterday I asked them if any of them were married or courting, and no one raised their hand. So they're all single. But I hope you, as parents, have taken a good look at them, because they are valuable, valuable youth. They are the strength of the church. I hope you realize that. I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 7. It's something that has been on my heart for a while, and especially with this Bible school. 2 Chronicles 7, starting in verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. How many of you would call yourselves Christians? How many of you would have gone on the streets here in America and seen a drunk man who declares that he's a Christian? Is it a common sight? How many people in America would call themselves Christians but live no different than the world? Have you ever thought about that? What are you doing about it? Is my question. The Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be pure and holy and spotless. But it seems like there's a lot of hurts. There's a lot of divisions in the church. Mostly because we are not willing to act according to the Bible. We would rather divide our churches, divide our relationships, than live according to what God has commanded us to live. These young people came this week. Some of them came with a sincere desire to hear from God, learn about Him. They came with joy. They came with excitement. But there were some that came here with hurting hearts. Hearts that were crying. Hearts that were longing for something different. Came to this Bible school wanting to know where they can find that love. Some of them are probably going home with hurting hearts. If you look at America today, I know we elected a new president. There's been a lot of strife. There's been a lot of contention with this. There's been a lot of violence simply over an election. Where does that stem from? We look at the violence and say it's not right. We look at what's happening and say it's not right. But have you ever thought, where did it start from?
why is it here? The house of God is to be a holy house.
Solomon dedicated the temple here, and this is God's response to him. I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. Is your house, your temple, your body, a holy house? A house of sacrifice? Or do you feel as if God has shut up the heaven over you? He's not showering any blessings over you? Do you feel like all of the beautiful things in your life are being taken away and eaten away by the things of this life? Are you sick? Do you feel like you're sick and there is no way out? Do you feel like the people in your church are dying? I'd like for you to think about it this way. Every minute, there are over 150 people that die. Every minute. I see there's a lot of people that are dying today. And a lot of them have never heard what's in this book. They've never heard songs that were sung like this. They've never heard them. They've never had a chance to hear them. There's a lot of those people coming here into the U.S. They're bringing their hurts. They're bringing their crying, broken, bleeding hearts, longing for something different. And what do they see? A lot of them see people claiming to be Christians, wishing that they would be gone. Some of them wanting to kill them. We are creating pain. We are creating strife. When they see Christians that do not live according to the Word of God. Some of it is a reaction. A lot of you have been hurt in the past. A lot of you have felt as if the locusts that were eating away at your life and all the goodness of your life were the people in your own churches. You felt that. But I would like for you to put your attention on verse 14. There's something in here that I see that God is telling us. God is saying, if my people, which are called by my name, will do these certain things, then I will. Focus on the I will, or the will I, then will I hear from heaven. If you're hurting, if you are, you feel like your rain barrel is empty. If you feel sick spiritually, almost dead. Look at the promise that God gives. I will hear from heaven. And I will heal their land. And I will forgive their sin. Look at the promises of God. I don't know where all of you are at. I know where I am at. I've had a lot of struggles in my life. I've gone through a couple church splits where people are basically fighting each other because they want their own way, or they think it needs to be done their own way. It's not easy for a young person to go through that. Young people should never go through that. But that's when the promises of God can come very close to your heart. Take heart. Know that God is on the throne. There is no other God. God is on the throne and He is in control. And He has given us specific promises. If we look at our nation in general, it doesn't look good. We see sin coming in. But the promise is there for that as well. If My people, which are called by My name, will humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. What are we doing today? I know we come to church quite often, usually every Sunday and sometimes Wednesdays as well. We sit here in these pews and we hear God's Word preached to us. Then we go home. What happens? Men, we go to our businesses. Ladies, we continue our duties as wives or whatever we're doing. Some ladies have jobs. What are we doing about our land? What are we doing about our spiritual land, our spiritual temples? Are we concerned about them? Does it not break our hearts to see people hurting, bruised and broken? Yes, sometimes they cover it up very easily and very, very well. But does our heart not burn with a passion to see the joy of Christ on their faces? Does our hearts not burn with a passion and a desire to see their sins forgiven, to see them taken away from Satan's grip into God's hands? What is your passion? What is your drive in your business? What is the drive of your life? What does it mean to humble yourself? Admit who you are and admit your weaknesses. It's hard for us to admit that we are wrong. It's hard for us to admit that we need someone greater than us, especially as men. We like to have this idea that we are someone great. We need to have a strong persona. We need to have let the idea known to everyone else that we are strong people. But we're not willing to admit that we are weak and wretched. What does it mean to pray? There's a difference between praying and seeking the face of God. At least, that's how I see it anyway. When you're praying, it's bringing your needs to God. It's saying, God, I have a need. God, our land is broken, is bleeding, it needs healing. It needs Your rain to come and shower on us. We need Your blessing on us. God, we have sickness here. Let's pray. Seeking the face of God. Saying, God, I want to see Your face. I want to see Your holiness, God. I want to be able to look into Your face and say, there You are, God. What do You want me to do? Verses there where it talks about waiting, those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. I see the seeking God's face and waiting as the same thing. You're looking at God's face and just waiting, saying, God, I've brought this need to You. God, what do You want me to do? What's my place in this world? I brought my need, God. Now I'm waiting for Your answer. I'm waiting for Your answer. waiting for you to respond to me. That's seeking the face of God. Turning from your wicked ways. Seems simple. It's casting off the besetting sin. The sin that easily takes you down. It's living a different way than what you were before. Is living with God on the throne of your life. Walking in obedience to the commands of Christ rather than your own ways. Doing it God's way rather than the way that the world says business should be run. Doing it God's way rather than what you think it should be done. God's ways are not your ways. God's ways are higher. Much higher. Turning from your wicked ways is living in true freedom. True freedom. What is God's response? I will hear from heaven. If you as a human being would understand how you were created, if you as a person could understand how small and insignificant you are, and how great our God is, then you could catch a little glimpse of what it actually means to have God hear you. We as Christians say that God has cleansed us from our sin. God has redeemed us. He has sanctified us. He's made us holy. Do you know what that means for you? Do you know? What does it mean for your neighbor? Some unbelievers scoff at the Christians. They say you really don't believe that your God is as big as you say it is. Otherwise, you would live quite extraordinary lives. But you're just common people. Living ordinary lives. There's nothing special about you. There's nothing special about your life. You really don't understand who God is if you say that He's that big. Also, some have said that if Christians really believed in eternal damnation for the soul, they'd be willing to crawl from Washington, D.C. to Seattle, Washington, on their hands and knees over broken glass to save one soul. Are you willing to do that? That's words from a communist. If you believed in your God like you say you do, you would be willing to do that for one person. How ordinary are our lives? Or do we not see the need? Do we not see that our land is in need of the showers of the blessings of God, or the cleansing from the locusts, or the healing of the pestilence? Do we not see that? You young people are going home. You have a lot of tools to use in this in your journey, in your Christian walk. You were taught on how to have good godly relationships. You were also given a lot of spiritual disciplines to use to enable you. Now it's up to you to use them. And you, as parents, when you see your young person that comes home, what are you going to do with him or her when they start doing some things that are completely out of your box? What will you do with your young person when he begins to pry into your married life and say, Dad, do you love Mom? Mom, do you respect and honor Dad? What are you going to do with your young person when they are late for breakfast every morning? You wonder where they're at. So you go to their room and they're up there praying. What are you going to do with that young person? What will you do with the young person that is seeking the face of God when there's work to be done? I'm not saying that they should stop their work or stop being responsible people. That has been taught to them very well. But are you going to allow them to flourish, to grow, to strengthen their faith, to walk out the Christian life? Maybe in a different way than what you see it needs to be done. Are you willing to I don't know if you, who all was here on Wednesday evening meeting? The illustration that Aaron gave is something that I see is very needed, and it's such a blessing to think about. He had this bowl, this small bowl, and he poured blue liquid inside of it. That was God's Spirit being poured into a person. He placed that little bowl into a bigger bowl and filled that big bowl with that same liquid. He said, that's God surrounding us, protecting us. And my plea to you as parents especially, with these young people, is do not have the umbrella of authority over top of them, holding them down, but come underneath as a husbandman. A husbandman that tills around the plants, feeds the plants, so that they can grow, so that they can look at the sun without having anything over top of them, holding them down. They can look at the sun and worship the sun and bring forth fruit. For God, not for you. Think about that illustration. We are to be holding them up rather than bringing them down. Your authority is very powerful and very needed in their lives. Use it, not for your glory, not for your little kingdom, but for God's glory. To strengthen them, to surround them with your prayers, to surround them with that energy that they can take and run. Our theme this week was running the race with endurance. They need your example. They need your encouragement. They need you to run with them. Some of them probably feel they run alone. There were several times where I felt like I was running alone. But it was always those people that would come alongside of me and say, Justin, let's go off and pray. Justin, let's keep going. Don't focus on your needs. Don't focus on what you feel like you need. Focus on what God can do through you and in you. God wants to heal you. God wants to take you much further than you are. It's those people that helped me and that I look to as being godly people in my life. They need you as parents. They beg for you to come alongside of them, to lift them up with your love. To help them in their difficulties. But you as parents also need to catch the vision and the goals that they have. You as parents also need to understand the deep burdens that they have on their hearts And you need to see if their hearts are bleeding and broken. And begin to pray that God would heal them. Begin to seek the face of God for your own life and for your families. In closing, I'd like to ask this question. Do we as God's people desire spiritual and emotional healing and restoration in our lands? Do you desire it? Do you desire it for your family? Do you desire it for your young people? Do you desire it for yourself? Do you desire spiritual and emotional healing and restoration in our land? I beg you, please see the need. Please understand what God is pleading with you as His people. I get the picture of God standing or sitting on His throne. He's looking down upon all of you here today and saying, I love you. I love you. And I know that it will bless the heart of God to have each one of you look back into His face and say, Lord, I love you. Use me. Break me, mold me, shape me in whatever vessel, whatever thing you want me to be. I am yours and yours alone. And we don't only look in His face and say that today. We say that Monday morning when it seems like the day is going bad. Nothing goes right at the job. We begin to worship God and say, God, I love you. We say that when our little boy is sick. He's waking up for the 8th time in 4 hours in your bed, in your prime sleeping time. We hold up our hands and say, God, I love you. And I love this child that you've given to me, and I'm going to worship you because I know that it is you who has planned this for my good. If God's people would begin to act like that and do those things and worship God in that way and be with God, our land, our churches, our families, everything would be affected in a powerful way, in a way that we don't even understand or know. Are you willing for that to happen? Do as God says and you will get God's results.
Just going to open it up here for a few moments. We can switch. Just raise your hand if you have something you want to say. The ushers will get a microphone to you.
I'd like to bear testimony of the message this morning that Justin shared. Really touched my heart. And yes, it's something that's been on my heart as well. The thinking along the lines of prayer and seeking God's face. And particularly in light of what does God want to do in our midst? There's so much more. There's so much more He wants to do. I do want to share this also in light of the youth Bible school. I think of the fact that I'm 31 years old. It was really only just a couple years ago when I was attending Bible schools. And as I think over my life, one of the lessons that I wish I would have learned earlier, it's one of those things I do see that I had some aspects of it in my life, but it just continues to grow and grow in my heart. The fact that prayer and seeking God's face is working in the kingdom. And that digging into this aspect and understanding how to seek God's face, how to worship Him and how to ask Him for the things you have need of is one of the most valuable things that you can learn that will guide your life, because God has so many wonderful things He would love to pour out if we will choose to ask. With this thought of praying, one of the things that God did in my life recently that was very special, I would just like to share with you. My grandfather died about 3 weeks ago, and be my mom's father. As I got the news of his death, I was pondering, Lord, what is possible here? And I give a little bit context to the situation. My grandfather was older Amish, and for many, many years, there had been lots of bondage and things in his life that we knew that we would long to see broken before his death. And God had, in the last 5 or 6 years of his life, very graciously answered so many prayers, brought so much freedom to his life. And as I heard of his death, I said, Lord, somehow, thinking of all my other relatives that will be there, I said, Lord, somehow, let your amazing grace be declared. I said, this is your work that you have done is so awesome. It was an Amish funeral, and the second preacher that got up just totally, by the Spirit of God, fulfilled that request that I had given to God. It was amazing. And it gave me such hope and courage to know, okay, yes, there are so many situations I would long to see God meet in my relatives' lives, but that, yes, God is still in charge of this business of setting people free. I don't know what all happened that day, but I'm sure God was doing something. Thank you.
Amen. Anyone else? Back there? Whoever
has the other one. Yes. Wow, it's hard to believe a week has gone so fast. When you all came, especially the strangers, when you came on Friday morning to register, I was just overwhelmed almost by how many people I did not know. And just spending a week with you, I wish I would have had a chance to sit down with each one of you, especially the girls, and hear your hearts, hear your stories. I've had a privilege to do that with a few, and you've come very dear and precious to me. All of you are. And I did see, though, I saw your spirits. I saw your hearts, even if I didn't get to talk to you. And you will be on my prayers. I will be praying for you that God will meet the needs of your heart. And I just want to share one fear I have in my own life. I do not fear that I will walk away from my Savior. I do not fear that I will go crazy and drop all my morals. No, but my greatest fear is that I'm going to settle for a mediocre, unexamined life. It's that I'll settle into a mundane life and never become the person that God really intended me to be. I know how that life feels. I lived there. I used to live there. And I've been there. I've been there drifting away from having a passion to know God in a deeper way. And I see this lifelessness all around me. I see it in people's eyes. I hear it in their words. It takes courage to break away from a mediocre life. And sometimes my courage disappears and I'm tempted to slip back into that life. If I do that, I will have failed you. and I would have failed my God. So I just want to say, will you join me in that pursuit and that passion to not settle for that life? I'm not going to be able to give each of you girls a hug goodbye. But if I could right now, consider yourself hugged. I love you. You're valuable to God. His banner over you is love. He sings over you. And He's calling you to come and to pursue a deeper, passionate walk with God. Just be everything God has intended for you to be.
My name is Japheth Stauffer, and I had the privilege of sharing with the young people this week. And I come in here as a stranger. I knew probably about, I slightly knew three people when I came here. And it has been a blessing to be here. For those of you with parents, it's been a joy to get to know your children and your young people. Truly, the Church of Tomorrow was represented this week. And I praise the Lord for the work He's doing in their hearts. And for young people, I'd like to leave you with a verse that I took home with me from Bible school too many years ago to mention. I'm not going to say that. From Philippians, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast with one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified of your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of your salvation, and that from God. Go with God, and may the world be changed.
Amen. Thank you, Japheth, and the whole Stauffer family for coming and joining us this week. God's blessings be upon you. Also, I just want to bless Daniel Esch and your family. Thank you for coming and blessing us, and wherever you're at, there you are. Take our greetings back to your wife, Dora, and the rest of the children, please.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.